Thank you for tuning in. We'll get to your program right after this short word from our sponsors.
Do you wake up feeling like your best days have passed you by? Omega-3s are essential to the health of your body and cells. Scientists say an imbalance in the omega-3-6 ratio is a major cause of many illnesses. You need testing to know how healthy your cells are. Without testing, you're only guessing. Test yourself at home and start feeling better today. Find out how by calling Rick Kroll at 305-933-4219. Welcome to the Home Business Success Show. Join us as we speak to home business entrepreneurs for tips, tricks, do's, and even don'ts for running a successful home business. Welcome, everyone. I'm Hank Eder, also known as Hank the PR Guy, host of the Home Business Success Show. And you're listening to BizRadio.us, all entrepreneurs, all the time. We'll be joining my guest right after my 2 cents marketing minute. Do you know there are folks out there who don't take home business entrepreneurs seriously? Why is that? Most likely it's not the absence of brick and mortar locations, but more likely they've had past experiences with home businesses that don't take themselves or their business seriously enough. The bottom line? Your reputation is everything. Your credibility hinges on on the way you conduct business professionally and doing what you've agreed to do. Remember this, your business just might depend on it. My guest today, Jeff Serra, is a self-development sensei and Reiki practitioner. Where's that Reiki?
Reiki.
Yeah. His Food for Thought is an empowering, motivational self-development service that supports you in achieving your goals. You will unlock your unused and unlimited potential to create massive results in all domains of your life. Jeff will help you become self-aware and develop a high level of self-mastery. You will be able to find solutions and possibilities that you never could have imagined. You will become self-confident with an abundance of self-love, self-worth, and self-respect, all the good self things. These are important keys to both business and life. Hey, welcome to the show, Jeff.
Thanks for having me, Hank. I'm excited to be here.
You're welcome. You're welcome. If you would, please tell us about what you do.
Yeah. So like you mentioned, I am a self-development sensei where I support people with whatever their goal is, whether it's in their life, whether it's in their health, their business, their romantic life. And I support them with achieving those goals by taking a look at the self, right? So how are we self-sabotaging? What are our self-limiting beliefs? What are our self-limitations? And how do we remove those so that we can move forward and really get out of our own way?
Okay, so that's a big umbrella, but it goes back to self each time. People's self-image, their self-esteem, their goals that come from within.
Yeah. The self is the one component that differentiates us from the person that is living our dream life. The only thing that separates them from us is the ability to recognize everything that we do distinctly different from that individual. And then how do you become that? Most people look at it from the perspective of what do I need to do in order to be that person, with the actual order being you get to be that person in order to create that lifestyle and that reality for yourself.
So in other words, just start being that person. Like Gandhi said, be the change that you want to see. So be that person. And then all those goals can come into perspective. That reminds me of something that happened a little while ago. You know, while I was preparing for the show, I get a phone call. And supposedly it's a guy from Publishers Clearinghouse. And I've won $2.5 million. And I've won $5,000 a week for life and a brand new Ford F-150. F-150, however that is. What color do I want it in? And it all sounded so beautiful. The only catch was I had to go out and buy a vanilla Visa gift card and be ready to hand it over to somebody who was going to knock on my door. In other words, come to my house, right? And I told him I was born at night, but not last night, and wished him on his way. However, what my wife said really put that into perspective. I said, you know, I only entertained him on the phone for the minutes that I did, because for a few minutes, it felt really good to think that I had won $2.5 million in the Publishers Clearinghouse, even though I haven't dealt with them for 25 years. And she said the real reason for it was to bring up this sense of happiness that you've got with the notion of coming into money like that. So just live that happiness that you felt and be that person and draw it to yourself. And that was wonderful. I told her, you just made me really happy by saying that. Yeah. So anyway, going back onto topic, because I can wander around, how do you define self-development sensei? I mean, I took karate many years ago, and I had a sensei, and we would do our little, you know, our little bow when the sensei would come. And so how do you describe a self-development sensei?
Yeah, it's a term that I just kind of came up with as I was trying to figure out how to define myself. I feel like life coach is a very general term, and it can mean many different things. With what I try my very best to do is to emulate the very things that I support others with, right? So any tools that I'm providing to a client or giving advice on, it's something that I feel like I need to also embody myself. So living it by example, and being a sensei in that regard, to really have self-mastery and the discipline to follow through with the same tools that I'm supporting others with, and putting the focus around self-development, right? So I am always looking at what's my next elevation, what's my next growth. At the same time, how can I take that elevation for me and then bring everyone that I'm working with up to that same level? So combining self-development with the teaching side of it as being a sensei.
I think that's beautiful, because it's a win-win. If you're approaching your clients' issues, pain points, or stumbling blocks by removing these things from your own life, it's a win-win. It's a win for you. It's a win for them. And I mentioned Gandhi a few minutes ago, you know, about be the change you want to see. But I remember a story wherein a woman came to Gandhi with a little boy, and she said, I need to get my little boy to stop eating sugar. How can I do that? And Gandhi said, come back and see me in a month, and I'll take care of that for you. Well, they came back in a month, and Gandhi explained, you know, what they needed to do to get the little boy out of his sugar addiction. And the woman said, why did you make us wait a month? And Gandhi said, I was eating sugar. I couldn't give you advice on that, on how not to eat it, until I didn't eat it anymore. So, yeah. It's
come beautiful. Back in a month so I can learn the answer that you need.
Right. But of course, in your business, you don't want them to come back in a month, because you want them to take the contract and become your client. So, you know, maybe you work on other issues in the meantime, while you're making that next elevation in your own life, to be able to help them with theirs.
It's so interesting that it happens either one of two ways, where I either bring into my sessions with clients the awareness I've gained for myself through something that week, or vice versa, where it's like I find myself working with the same issue with my clients, and then I take that lesson for myself. So like you said, it's always a win-win.
That's the best kind of a profession, really, to have constant self-growth and growth of your clients. I mean, it's like that. Loving what you do, so it never seems like work. If you would tell us a little bit about food for thought. I've heard you speak of that. Food for thought, what is that?
Yeah, so it started as what I love, right? So I love to support other people, and I love to eat food. Those are two of my favorite pastimes. And I was like, how do I combine these? And I recognized that I would typically go and eat with friends, and we would have these in-depth conversations, whether it was we would just be looking at a different, like a philosophical subject over a meal, or if they were wanting to vent or ask for advice, or if I was looking for advice, right? So it was these, I find that meals were typically how I was having these conversations. So as I was building the business, I was wondering, okay, well, how do I combine these into what I enjoy doing? And so I realized there's an opportunity here where I can set myself apart. Whereas I think most people that are supporting individuals look at this as separating it from your everyday life, right? So it's a very structured, like we're going to sit down in either an office setting or in a very professional setting to either sit directly across from each other where we can have that conversation in depth, or one of them is laying down and the other is like taking notes, almost like in like a therapist office, right? And I find that that rigid kind of environment creates kind of like a, you get tense, right? So there's a level of defensiveness or another layer of wall that comes up, versus when you're having a meal, it really calms down your nervous system and it supports with being able to dive deeper into the conversation. So in combining the two things that I love doing, I found that they actually support each other, where, you know, when we're having a meal, the body's like, okay, we're not in fight or flight because we're eating. The parasympathetic nervous system is now engaged, so we can put the ego down a little bit and have a more natural, vulnerable conversation. And then the exchange of, like, my request when I have in-person sessions with my clients is that they pick up the tab for the meal. So then at that point, we're exchanging food for thought.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Now, also, you know, it made me think that maybe that's something you do on a local level, but it also occurred to me that you actually could do food for thought in a group setting by having a group of people. Let's say you had 10 people come to a food for thought session on Zoom, and they have to have a meal in front of them, and you have a meal in front of you, and you can even, you know, work it out with them that you're all eating basically the same thing. So you could actually do group food for thought sessions that way.
I've thought about it, and I feel like it would be worth a shot just to try it, but the mind is coming up with all these reasons why that would be a terrible idea. Cause I'd be like, well, then I'm going to be chewing while someone's talking, or when I'm trying to talk. But like you said, if there's 10 of us, right, we just take turns, and it could be still a guided conversation around a specific topic. So I think I'm definitely gonna have to do that at least once. So,
yeah. Give it a shot. I think it wouldn't be any more cumbersome than actually sitting across from a group of friends and eating and talking. Cause you still have the same issue. You're eating, you're chewing, but you know, you work it out. What does coaching with you look like?
We typically start our sessions with a little bit of grounding, some breath work, to bring ourselves present. So, you know, both my clients and myself may have things prior to a session. So we'll start with a little bit of grounding to settle in and focus on whatever we want to dive into that day. And then I ask the question of, what would you like to gain from our session today? And once we've worked together for you know, at least a couple sessions, I'll have an understanding of the larger goal that my client has, as well as recognizing that throughout the weeks that we work together, you know, life happens. So the goal may be, let's say, a business-oriented goal, but if we start a session and that day or that morning, you know, they had an interaction where maybe they were arguing with a significant other, or maybe they got into an argument with a friend, that may be the focus point for that session. Now, what's interesting is how we do one thing is how we do everything. So if we're putting focus on the relationship aspect, whether it's with a friend or a romantic partner, that will also bring awareness to how we're doing business, whether it's through how we're engaging our customers or our clients or interacting with anybody on the forward-facing side of our business. So I lost my train of thought.
That's okay. You're saying that when you're dealing with personal relationships like that, it could also have some implications in business.
Correct. Yeah. So what a session with me looks like is putting focus and asking where would it be supportive this week to kind of direct the conversation, while I'm also keeping in mind the larger goal. And so kind of tying in whatever's happening that week to how this new realization with whatever came up today will also support the ultimate goal, and how we kind of intertwine those two together to have them see, oh, this is actually related.
Yeah, because There's probably no aspects of life that are not related to all other aspects of life. It's like a tapestry, a web, yeah, if you will, that, you know, if you try to separate out all these aspects too much, then we have the disconnect. And that's the kind of disconnect that 9-to-5 workers get when they feel like this part of my life is just so unbearable, intolerable, that, you know, I separate my true beingness from what I do 8 or 9 hours a day. That's why so many people are like walking around, you know, almost schizophrenic in that sense. I remember Pink Floyd, hanging on in quiet desperation is the English way.
The 9-to-5 lifestyle really teaches you to compartmentalize everything, right?
Yes, so it does.
Keep your business separate from your home life, keep your relationships separate from your business, all these things, when in reality, when you start to become an entrepreneur, it's like all of that is intertwined, and it's not something you switch on and off. It's ever present in whatever you're doing. So it's interesting. Yeah. Like that point that you made is, what was it called? Quiet desperation, hanging
quiet
on.
Quiet desperation.
It's the 9-to-5.
Classic Pink Floyd off of Dark Side of the Moon. What are you most passionate about in your work?
I think it's the light bulb moment. When I support someone and I ask a question and then they answer it and their eyes widen and you just see that light bulb click to be like, oh, like, yeah, that makes so much sense. Or, oh, that is why I do that. That self-awareness moment, to be able to witness that and be a part of that, that brings me a lot of fulfillment, because I know that for myself, anytime I learn something new, I get excited because that means there's been growth. That means I now am moving another step in the right direction towards something great.
Very cool. So I guess also helping them move towards that next step of greatness is it's a light bulb moment for them and for you.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's the enjoyment of knowing what they've just experienced from my own experience, right? Like, yeah, I love to bring that out in other people, to really empower them to not only have that one moment, but teaching them how to continuously create that for themselves.
Very, very cool. Is there one bit of advice you might give to someone who needs to develop more self-confidence?
Ooh, for self-confidence, the self-talk, being extremely aware of how you talk to yourself and surrounding yourself with people that will call it out. If we're around people that are talking negatively all the time, especially about themselves, we're going to emulate that. And when you start to surround yourself with people who speak highly of themselves in a way that is healthy and supportive, you'll begin to also do the same. And they will also recognize, like, hey, you know, what you just said, how can you rephrase that? That's empowering for yourself. So, you know, something, if I were to say, you know, I suck at basketball versus I'm learning how to play basketball. That's you're beautiful. Saying the same thing. Yeah. But the verbiage is different, and the subconscious lesson that you're taking from it is also different.
My wife has brought up something similar to that with me recently. My hearing leaves a lot to be desired, and she's not a loud speaker. And too many times I was saying, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. And she said, why don't we rephrase that into something like, would you say that a little louder? Because then you're not giving yourself the self-talk that you can't hear. And, you know, because the self-talk has so much importance. You know, it's amazing how quickly this time has gone by. Is there anything else very briefly that I haven't asked that you might want to bring up?
I would like to give a huge shout out to our mutual friend, Sajjad with Cause and Effect. He's definitely somebody I enjoy having in my circle and in my space to hold me to that standard myself, right? To make sure that my self-talk is positive. Being in this work, I feel that I'm really self-aware, and he still brings out more, right? To be like, yes, hey, you know, don't talk about that, like, or don't talk about yourself in that way, or don't say it that way, right? Because you're then creating that negative self-talk. And it's, you know, as I'm supporting other people with that, he supports me with that. So again, who you surround yourself with is very important. So I appreciate both.
Andrew. He's told me the same thing. And yeah, you're about to say I've encouraged you, but you know, I'm so sorry that we're running out of time. That being said, please tell our audience the one best way to contact you.
The best way is through social media. through any of my platforms, leaving a comment or a question. And then I will definitely get back to you, and then we can always connect from there.
So just look for Jeff Sarah on social media.
Social media, my handle is Yukikazu, which is my middle name. So Y-U-K-I-K-A-Z-U, and then 408.
Very, very good. Well, thank you for being here with us today, Jeff. And to our listeners, tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. for the Home Business Success Show here on bizradio.us. Before I go, I want to remind you that there are some great resources available to home business entrepreneurs. You are not alone in the wilderness in your home business. The Home Business Success Community has your back. We're an online membership support community of like-minded home business entrepreneurs. Contact me to find out more. Just go to bizradio.us, click on shows, find my picture, and all of the contact information will be there. Remember, you can achieve success, freedom, and independence in your own home business. I've done it, Jeff has done it, and you can too. See you again next week. This is Hank Eder wishing all of you a fabulous day of home business success.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.